you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Well, it's a real privilege to be able to be here with family this weekend. And I have been anticipating this time to come. And my God, what a powerful time it's been since yesterday morning. And a powerful Victory Home service where I mean, you just see the purity of the vision, people's lives being changed and transformed. It was a beautiful thing it was to be part. Last night, what a powerful, powerful service. And I know this morning you could already sense what God wants to do. And I love what Jerome said. He said, there's footprints, but we have our own shoes, right? That's a message, bro. You're going to use that or I'm going to steal it. You can already sense what God wants to do. I'm asking you to take your Bibles with me, if you will. And as you're grabbing that, I just want to turn to Joshua chapter 1. And thank you, Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky, so much. How many love your regional pastors? And you guys have great, great, great regional pastors. And thank you, Pastor, Sister Vicky. You guys have always made me feel welcomed. You know, it was a big jump coming from the States. A whole new culture. Bringing my kids, and we had my daughter here, and just it was a big shift coming from the States, where we all think it that's the world, and you guys opened up open arms, and from the moment we've landed, even the trips I made previous to moving, you guys have always made us feel welcomed and loved, and it is so great to have family on this side. And the beautiful thing about our ministries, wherever we go, we have family. And it's and all the pastors as well, all my brothers in the Lord, all the pastors, thank you for your warm welcome to Europe. It's been almost 3 years now. See, September will be 3 years. COVID took like 2.5 of it. So, but I'm excited for what God is doing, and we feel so blessed to be here. And but let's go ahead and let's get into the word. Can we do that? Thank you, Nate. I'm excited, man, for what God is going to do in the UK and Germany. And you stole your wife from Germany, and you're in a whole new place. Pastor G's looking at you right now like, now you pay the bills, brother. She's yours now. But I'm excited for how God is going to use you, and I'm looking forward to, I think, together, us working together as a continent, and the responsibility God has given all of us to take the nations of the world. Amen? So thank you for the opportunity to go to minister. I'm going to ask you, take your Bibles, Joshua chapter 1, and for the sake of time, let's look at verse 11. I was going to read the whole thing, but let's nail in at verse 11. And the word of God says, it says, and go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready for yourself, for within 3 days we will cross the Jordan and go and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given as an inheritance. Let's pray. Father, I come before you here this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we've sensed all weekend long. Even as we come to a close here today, we sense that you're still not done yet, God. You've gathered us here this morning because, Lord, there's still room for one more word, for another altar call, Lord, for another breakthrough, for more clarity, Lord, and a little and vision for our lives. And so we ask that you would just be with us today. Lord, I ask that you would just help me, Lord. Lord, help me to effectively communicate the word you put in my heart. I pray you would open up every mind and every heart, and you would block out every distraction, Lord, and that you would lock us in with you today. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you look to your neighbor and tell them, I got a promise. Come on, say it with some confidence. Say, I got a promise. You can go ahead and take your seats. And I'm not talking about promise. Some guy took that literally. He was like, I got a promise. Calm down, brother. I feel at home today. Is that okay? Pastor Paul says crazier things, so I feel a little bit at home. You know, I do want to take time as well just to thank the Lord for my salvation this morning. I am so grateful to God. This year's 20 years. 20 years since God has spared my life and rescued me. I'm getting a little bit older. I turned 36 this year. I'm still young, though. I just want to look as good as Pastor Colin when I'm his age. But I'm so thankful to the Lord Jesus. You know, he saved me. I was 16 years old. I was broken. Parents were drug addicts. Grew up in a drug house. You name it, I've seen it. It was normal for people to OD. It was normal for the cops to kick down doors and raid the house. I thought everyone's family was like that. And at 9 years old, I started getting high and started my own path. And I was broken. I really, really thought that there was nothing for me. I thought that I was going to end up just like my dad and just like the rest of my family. But then God sent Victor Outreach to my neighborhood. He sent. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't hear the gospel. And he sent the men's home. He sent the men's home knocking on doors. They shared the love of Christ. My family, I came in. I gave my life to Jesus. It hasn't been easy, but my life has never been the same. It has. I think I could say I was raised in church now because it's been longer in God than it was before God. I'm so thankful to Jesus. I owe him everything. I wouldn't have nothing without him. I'd be lost. I'd be miserable. Me and my wife were just two kids from Cali who dared to believe God and said yes to God and was willing to believe that God can use our lives when we couldn't see it and maybe others didn't believe it, but yet it was there at a conference that I felt the call. I was just last night. They were singing that song, and I was telling Pastor Anthony last time, the first time they shared that song at Conference 2002, and him and Pastor Tim did it, that was the service that I decided to say yes to the calling of God. It was over that song. Last night I was having flashbacks. Remember being at that altar, 16 years old, and saying, all right, God, I've been saved for a few months now, but it's time to be serious, and if you have a call for my life, God, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to entail. But there was something that I was feeling that some of you may be feeling here this morning. There was a tingling. There was this weird feeling that I couldn't shake when the preacher would preach. I feel like someone told him about me, and I didn't understand why. I felt like I was the only person in the room, but little did I know, like David and the shepherd feel like some of you here today, God was singling me out because he had a plan for my life. You know, as that song was playing, I surrendered fully my heart to Christ. And I said, God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'll be willing to believe it. God, I just want to fulfill your purpose for my life. And today we find ourselves in Amsterdam serving alongside an amazing team, believing God for the promise God has given our ministry. I'm just crazy enough to believe it, that God has given us a promise, and he has called us to dispossess nations, and we're privileged to be part of the base there. And maybe you're new to the ministry, and you say, well, what's a base? A base is a strategic plan God has given our ministry for the fulfillment of the promise God has given us in Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. It says the base is a strategy within Victory Arch International for the fulfillment of the vision and the promise of dispossessing nations. And that's why we're gathering there, because we believe God has given us a big promise. Big promise. And so this morning, look to your neighbor and tell him, I got a promise. I came this morning to speak promise over your life. I came with a message that's been burning in my heart, something that's been keeping me up at night, something that's been causing me to wrestle a little bit in the spirit, because God has given us a big promise, a powerful promise. You know, sometimes, just a few weeks ago, I had breakfast with our founder as he was making his way back from grand opening back to the States. And as we were sitting there over breakfast, you know, whenever you get around our founder, there's this... something begins to happen, and he begins to speak, and God begins to use him, things begin to click, and things begin to unlock within our minds. And we were there. I was eating I thought I was just going to eat a nice bacon and ham omelet. I was there enjoying my cheesy omelet.
And our founder began to speak. He said, we got a big promise. He was looking at the team. He said, listen, we have a big promise ahead of us. And he said, when I look at Amsterdam, he said, I don't see what everybody else sees. I see something different. He said, some people say this. He said, but I see with a different set of eyes. I see a big promise over this generation. And as he began to share, and we continued on, and we began to talk about ministry and different things, though that phrase just wouldn't leave my mind. That you and I here today have a big promise that has been spoken over our lives. When we read Joshua chapter 1 right here, we see a very powerful story. Understand that this was a very pivotal time within the children of Israel's life. This story that was taking place here was literally something that was birthed generations beforehand. God had promised this land to their forefathers when he had called Abraham to leave his countryside and to step out into the promise that God was going to give him and his descendants. The story we find in Joshua chapter 1 was a story of generations in the making. It was a pivotal time within the children of Israel's life. See, when I read the Joshua chapter 1 and the first few chapters, I don't necessarily too much focus on the passing of a mantle as much as I focus on the stepping into a promise. We see the children of Israel going from 40 years in the desert to stepping into the promise that had been waiting for them for generations. You know, I think when we look at the story, you and I can relate that God has given us an amazing promise that was given to our founder many years ago. But we see in this season, God is beginning to unfold and bring clarity to the promise and the vision that God has given us. And it's the time for the second promise of our ministry. And if you got breath in your lungs here today, whether you're a young person or whether you got some experience behind your belt, we are living in the days of Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. There's a promise standing before our eyes, and that promise is to dispossess nations. A promise that is bigger than cities, but speaks of continents, speaks of countries, speaks of multiple languages. We were in the green room yesterday, and we began to talk about Ireland. And we began to talk about Wales. And we were talking about church planning, and Pastor Paul was talking about the future and talking about the promise God had told him about taking back what the enemy thought was his. And going back into some cities that the devil thought he won, but he just woke in a sleeping giant that he didn't realize. All he did was provoke a generation who's willing to believe and crazy enough to believe that God has promised us foreign soil. We find Joshua here, and we see the attitude of this young leader. The attitude of a young leader who was willing to take the promise that was spoken to the generations before and not look at it as just for something for them, but took it very personal within his heart. This was a new season, a new time for the children of Israel. It was a time for them to step foot into the promise. And I came here today to speak promise over your life. And I came here today to hopefully awaken something in someone here today that maybe you haven't realized, or maybe you're new to the ministry, or maybe you've just been a little comfortable because this season we're in. Let's not forget about the promise. Let's not forget the promise that God has given us. The big promise that God has spoken over our lives and spoken over our ministry and spoken to you here today. So if you find yourself here in the room today, it's because God has a big promise for your life. And we see the children of Israel here stepping foot into the promise that God had for their eyes. As Pastor began to talk, he said, I see things with a different set of eyes. So I walked away and I began to just, you know, meditate on what he was saying. So that was a heavy statement. How many ever heard a statement that just like kind of rocks you a little bit? And I began to, as I began to pray and I began to separate, God began to show me that when you look through the lens of promise, you look at things different. When you look through the lens of the promise, you look at life different. You look at things different. There are some interesting things that happen if we, you and I today would begin to put a new lens on, and that lens would be the promise of God. That we would begin to not look through the natural, but look through the faithfulness and the promises that God has given us. I came here this morning to give you an eye prescription for the promise of God. There's three things. I'm not going to be too long. There's three things. Three things that happen in our life when we begin to look through the lens of the promise. The first thing that happens when you're looking through the lens of promise, and this is what we find in, as well as with Joshua, is when you're looking through the lens of promise, number one, opportunity. You see opportunities in every obstacle. You see opportunities in every obstacle. You know, the reality of it is that you and I are going to face challenges within our life. How many of you have gone through some stuff recently? How many feel like we're coming out of something? Felt like something awakening this weekend, right? Like we're stepping out of something. And when you look through the eyes of promise, we begin to find that we find opportunities in every obstacle that we face. Joshua and the children of Israel go from the desert, they cross the Jordan, and they step into the land that God had promised them. A land that had their name on it. It was a birthright that God had given them, that the land flowing with milk and honey belonged to the children of Israel. Yet when they step into the promised land, they find themselves over the bank looking at the walls of Jericho. A fortified city that was very strong and symbolized a stronghold that the enemy had in the land that God promised his children. But when you look through the eyes of promise, I love that Joshua didn't look at Jericho and he wasn't intimidated. He wasn't intimidated by what seemed big in the eyes of man. He wasn't intimidated by what looked unnatural and what looked like could stop them compared to what others seen. But Joshua chose to look through the lens of the promise of God. And when he seen the walls of Jericho, he seen an opportunity for God to show off. See, Joshua didn't see the walls because he had a word from God. He didn't see the fortified city because he had a promise that he was standing on, and he recognized that, wait a minute, if there's an obstacle, then there's an opportunity for God to show off. There's an opportunity. Some of you here this morning, you may be looking at a situation that doesn't look good. You may be looking at why you can't and why we shouldn't. I want you to know we got to begin to change the lens and begin to recognize here today that God is just opening opportunities for our generation. When I look at the drug problem in Ireland, what I see is an opportunity. When I look at the hopelessness in different countries, I don't see the challenge, I see the opportunity. When we're looking at Amsterdam and we're looking there in the city and we find all the challenges that we have faced, we step back as a team and say, wait a minute, we don't see the challenges or the obstacles. What I see is an opportunity for God to show off. And when people look at what's taking place, they will not be able to credit it to a man. They will not be able to credit it to anybody's ability, but they will be able to say, this is only happening because God's hand is upon it. It is the timing of God. See, I believe God likes to show off. I believe God likes to flex. He does. When we read the text, we find countless stories of God showing off his six-pack. God loves to show his children how strong he is. He loves to show his children how powerful he is. He loves to remind the devil that he doesn't have power. He loves to remind the enemy that his time is limited, that he thought he won on the cross, but he really sealed his fate for eternity, right? That God loves to show off in uncommon ways. We find a pattern of every time the children of Israel find themselves against an obstacle, God opened up an opportunity for him to pour out his power. God opened up an opportunity for him to show off, or for him to reveal his glory, and for him to show the unique strategies that God would give his people to overcome what seemed impossible in the natural eye. When we look across our generation today and we look at the world today, there's a lot of challenges before us. We live in a very ungodly time. Our generation is so lost, filled with so much different beliefs and doctrines. There's so much ungodliness wrestling across Europe and across the world. But when we look at it here today, I don't look at it as an impossibility, but I look at it as a way for God to pour out his glory and for God to pour out his power upon the third wave generation like we've never experienced before. And we would give credit that it was only because of God. It was only because of his power. It was only because of his glory that we're able to do what God has called us to do. And if we look at every obstacle saying, God, this is an opportunity for you to show up, then listen, Europe is not too big for God. Listen, France is not too big for God. Ireland is not too big for God. Wales is not too big for God. England is not too big from God. Scotland is not too big from God. Russia is not that big for God. Asia's. I wonder if there's anybody that has a promise deep down in their spirit for the nations of the world. I know some people say you're talking big. I love what Pastor Ryan says. I'm just talking promise. I got a big promise from God. We got a big promise from God. We look upon the challenges of our world today. I look at the opportunities of God to flex and God to show off upon our generation, and how God is going to open up doors, and how God is going to provide, and how God is going to raise up a generation, and how God is going to use our ministry to do things that people thought were impossible and things that they thought couldn't happen and impact communities and nations that they thought they could not change. But by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the vision that God has given our ministry, we are going to see what looks impossible become possible. You know, I love it because there in Amsterdam right now, we're literally, I feel the responsibility to give you an update. We're literally seeing what people said was impossible become a reality. Literally, it's been so hard to get visas. It's been hard, like really hard to get a visa for people to come in. And other organizations that have been there for years, I mean like 30, 40 years, well-established Christian ministries, strong finances, I mean really established, have buildings and all these facilities. No one's been able to crack the visa process. Come in for 3 months and you got to leave. That's just how it's been, unless you could really sponsor, and it takes a lot. But yet in the midst of what all those people, I've talked to different churches, different organization overseers, they said it's impossible. It can't happen. What you guys want to do, it just can't happen. And in the natural, I was kind of like a little defeated, I could be honest. I was like, my God, yeah. But what we're seeing right now is we're seeing what everybody said was impossible. We're seeing it literally become an opportunity for God to show off. And God has been using some our team members and Pastor Dan and Julie, and doors have been opening. I mean, we were just sitting in a meeting. They were saying that we think we found a way where we can crack that, and we're going to be able to extend the visa process for the students. Right now, a lot of them are dropping their applications to extend from that 3 month that we thought we were only going to have. They could extend it for 6 months and possibly even a year. They said it was impossible to find a facility for the training center in the middle of Amsterdam. You got to look on the outside. But then little did we know, even though what looked impossible, the obstacle was COVID, yet God used COVID for our benefit. The owner of the hostel said, if you would have came to me before COVID, I would have said no. But because we've been closed for 2 years, use the facility. What seemed impossible, I mean, We can register 96 people in that building. It's unheard of. Unheard of. You will never find that in Amsterdam. That is the timing of God. That is God saying an obstacle. You're willing to believe it? Let me provide an opportunity for me to show off. When you look through the lens of promise, you see opportunities in every obstacle. The second thing, when you look through the lens of promise, is you begin to have convictions for your calling. You have convictions for your calling. You know, if you're here this morning, I want you to know that God has a very special plan for your life. This is something that is very personal to me. The calling of God is what I say is all I have. I told my wife when we got married, I said, Chris, listen, man, I'll do my best to take care of you. I'll be a sugar daddy. I'll do whatever I got to do, girl. No, I should say. I'll take care of you, Chris. I'll work hard. You know, I'm a hard worker. I'll work hard. I'll provide. I'll do whatever I got to do to take care of you and our family. I told her, but outside of that, all I have is the calling of God. I don't have nothing else. Like, you know, I have education now because of the calling, but before the calling, I had nothing. I got kicked out of high school. I mean, last thing I finished before the training center was kindergarten. That's the truth. I got kicked out of everything else. Elementary school, they just passed me on. Go ahead. Just get out of here. Middle school, they just get out of here. Just please. High school, they say, you can't even finish. Just get out of here. They just, like, didn't even let me just. First thing I finished after kindergarten, after 5 years, the next thing I graduated was the training center. That was like the first graduation I had. I went back and got it, but it's only because of the calling of God. But when you begin to look at your life through the lens of the promise, you begin to develop convictions for your calling. The calling of God upon your life, there begins to develop certain convictions that you begin to realize that I was born with purpose. That I was fearfully and wonderfully created by God. That even in his womb, God was stitching me together. And before I spoke even a breath, he had my days planned out before me. Listen, you begin to recognize that you have purpose. There's a calling over your life. That's why I even believe that even in settings like this, that sometimes we feel uncomfortable and you feel a wrestling, and that's God marking you. So why we didn't always fit in the world. We tried to act like we did, but we never really did. I used to sit there and get high with my friends, and inside I felt like I'm not better than them, but I have to be made for more than this. I would sit there like, I don't feel like I relate here. I'm doing this because this is all I know. But inside I knew that there has to be more. I just didn't know what it was. But it was in a setting like this where I felt the call of God upon my life. And I began to look at my life through a different set of lens. I didn't look at it through the natural lens. I didn't look at it through the labels of my past. I didn't look at it through what everybody else was saying. But I began to look at it through the lens of the promise of God. And what began to happen is there was convictions that began to develop within my life. When you're looking through the lens of promise, there's convictions like, I can't do this without God. I can't. I'd be foolish to try to fulfill what God has for my life. I don't know how some people serve God without God. Yeah, it happens. We just go on life without, like, how do we do this without prayer? How do we do this without reading the Word? How do we do this without fasting? Without really, how do we do this without altar calls? Altar calls have been something, Pastor. They've been like something that it's been bothering me. People who don't make altar calls. Can I go there? This ain't even here. This is just. I make altar calls. I make altar calls as much as I can. Altar calls is me responding to not man's word, because this isn't man's word. This is. So it doesn't matter who's preaching. If we believe it's God's word, then the altar call is our chance to respond, not to a man, not to just an individual. But God's word that always goes out And is always speaking, and altar calls are our moments to respond to what God is saying, unless we're looking at it like it's man. Sorry, I got to step on some stuff here today. To respond is to come and say, God, I can't do this without you. Every opportunity I need to be in your presence, God, I got to get in your presence. There has to be a conviction when we get up in the morning and we start our day that, God, I can't leave my house without you. I can't step into my job, my school, my family. I can't go nowhere unless I'm filled with your presence, God. And so there needs to be a conviction within our hearts that says, no prayer, no power. No, you don't fast, you don't last, right? All those old sayings that say those become convictions within our life, that we're more concerned about how God sees us than what other people see, and we put focus on where the source of our power comes from. And there's convictions that begin to develop around our calling. Like convictions that sound like this: if it doesn't match up with my calling, then I don't need it. Let me say that again on this side over here, because some of you are like, please don't say it. Let me say it to the camera right here. If it doesn't match up my calling, I don't need it. Not that I can't have it, but I can't become attached to it. If it doesn't match up with my calling, what God has for my life, relationships, I got to cut them out. Career things, if they don't match up with my calling, I got to be willing to let them go if God asks of it. I got to be willing to make tough decisions according to my calling, because when I stand before God, I'm going to be held accountable for what he's called me to do. And so there needs to be convictions in my life that say, God, if you have a promise for my life, then give me convictions to get towards your promise. Convictions, if it doesn't match up with the call of God, I don't want it. Got to be willing to let it go. Sometimes we become so attached to what's earthly that we lose sight of what's heavenly. We're so concerned. I'm not saying having good things, you know, having things here is wrong. No, but if it becomes so much more that it becomes a struggle for the call of God, there needs to be a conviction that says, Lord, I just got to get it out of my life. God, I don't want anything to interfere with the calling that you have for my life. Others may not understand it. Others may not even agree with it. Others may even criticize you for it. But there needs to be a conviction deep down inside that says, God, if you called me for something and you have a plan for my life, God, then develop the convictions in my life to keep me on track with your purpose and keep me on track with the destiny that you have for my life. I wonder if there's any men here, women here today who have conviction inside them, who understand that you've been marked by God. You've been called by God. God didn't call you to blend in. He didn't call you to be like everybody else. He didn't call you just to be another Christian in the sea. But there is plans for your life. There is a calling for your life. If God has given us a promise for nations, and I'm crazy enough to believe that there's missionaries in the room right now, that there's pastors in the room right now, he wouldn't promise us nations without giving us the people that have the conviction to believe God for the calling on your life. We're living in a season where the missionary call is going to become loud. But there needs to be a conviction to protect that call. To not get sucked into the world. To not get sucked into what the world portrays as living a good life. Yet missing the great life that God has for your life. Thirdly, they can get ready. Thirdly, the third thing, when you begin to look through the lens of promise, is you understand and you see that there's an anointing for your assignment. The lens of promise gets us to see that God has an anointing for the assignment that he's given us. A fresh anointing. See what the anointing is, and the anointing is what enables us to do what we can't do on our own. The anointing is what allows us to operate in a way that you and I can't operate on our own. When we begin to recognize that God has given us a promise, we don't look at our limitations, we look at the anointing. We don't look at all the why we can't and how we can't and why we shouldn't, and it's just too hard and our insecurities, but we begin to recognize that if God has given you an assignment, then God is going to give you an anointing to see that thing come to pass. I believe what God is doing is God is pouring out a fresh anointing upon our generation. Understand, God has always anointed our ministry for global impact. From the birth of our ministry in the beginning of the early days, there's always been a special anointing upon our ministry for global tasks. And I think it is time in this season of the third wave, and though everyone who's in this room and is alive and still has energy inside of us to do the will of God, that there's going to be another outpouring of the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon our people and upon our generation and upon every man and woman. There's an anointing for your assignment. There's an anointing for your life, for individuals today that we're one day going to send out to dispossess the nations. I came here today because I believe God wants to pour out an anointing upon your life. That God desires to pour fresh oil on our lives. And the only way He's going to pour out anointing upon our lives is by us being people that are willing to believe and willing to live holy. Willing to believe God for what He wants to do. And willing to live holy for God so that He can use us. I feel the anointing here in the room today. The anointing that's able to break every chain and every bondage. The anointing that's able to take someone who's insecure and make them bold. The anointing that's able to take someone who feels like you can't and show you that you can. The anointing that's able to fall upon an individual and give them new songs that have never been sung, new words and messages that have never been preached, new strategies and giftings to reach our generation, an anointing to speak languages that you never thought you would speak, an anointing to see people be set free and be delivered like we have never seen before. An anointing to reach the doctor, the businessman, the lawyer, the police officer, the down and out, drug addict, the hurting person. There's an anointing for our assignments. I want you to stand to your feet. I feel it this morning. I feel God separating us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You can sense God separating us. And it's not because of us. The truth be told, ain't none of us deserve nothing. But I thank God that God, when God looked at us, He didn't see our past. He seen the promise. And when I look at the room today, I'm gonna be honest, I see nations. I have to believe it. I have to believe that when we step foot into any one of our churches, that in the congregation is representations of the promise. And I've been feeling this, Pastor. I have, because I feel like if God has given us the promise, then it's time, man. Then there's a call. I feel it. God wouldn't give us a promise like that without putting countries and nations in the hearts of our people. Because it's not for the future, it's for right now. And normally we make altar calls and we make them real general, but today I want to make a call. I want to make two. I want to make a call for those of you who feel God has called you to go. I was battling with this because, you know, sometimes it's like, ugh. But I feel a conviction inside. I feel like it's crossing the line season. Just talk. Some of you have been wrestling with this for a long time. Some of you, you've been wrestling with it for years. God has put countries in your heart. You battled it. You struggled with it because of fear of letting go and fears of what's going to happen or fears of what are people going to think. Today, it's time to cross the line. And then there's others here today who you're not going to go. God has not placed that, but that doesn't mean you're not part of this promise. I love what Psalm says. It says, blessed is a warrior whose quiver is full, who when he stands at the gate, he will not be put to shame. I was reading that, and you know, God began to speak to me. He said that there's three types of people. I'm going to pray for those today. See, there's the bow. The bow represents the individuals who send. It's the individuals, the leadership that God raises up in the churches that God is going to use you in your pastor's hand to send people across the world. You're a bow in God's hand, and you need to be flexible. You need to be able to be pulled upon. You need to be able to be stretched. But you're a bow that maybe you're never going to go nowhere, but God is going to send descendants through your arms. Then there's those that are, who are the quiver. Maybe they never touch the stage. Maybe they never step in leadership, but God has called you to help build a place where arrows rest. You give financially. You're faithful week after week. You know what you're doing? You're building a quiver for young arrows to rest until it's their time. You're very much part of the promise. But then there's some arrows in the crowd today. There's some of you that there are nations with your name on it. That you will not be fulfilled until you step foot on foreign soil. It's how God made you. It's how He designed you from the conception in the womb with a country and a nation with your name on it. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to pray for us. This is... What an army here in the region. What an army that's here. What an army, Pastor, that's even going to stretch beyond the UK. Beyond the UK. Beyond Europe. Beyond this time zone. And this morning, what it is, I want to pray. I want to pray for those today who say, you know what, I got a promise today. I got a promise from God. I got a promise that I'm standing on. I believe in the promise God has given our ministry. And I want to be part of what God is doing in the third wave. And right now, they're going to play something. Feel free. And I want to open up these altars and I want to pray for you because I believe God is going to separate us here today.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website, vomanchester.org.uk, for more information.